I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live.
It's only just a matter of.
Welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. I have a special guest today, and it's you. I won't be having a conversation with anybody else. As we head into the holiday season, I just wanted to take a pause in this particular show and spend some time unpacking one of my Christmas messages. If I speak at Christmas events, this is often the message that I give. I'm adapting it for radio in just hopes to encourage you and in hopes to inspire you to tell your story, to love your story, and to see God's story. And I'll also play a few Christmas songs that kind of just weave into the message. Excuse me. But one thing I would love for you to do is to text me if you've given any thought to the word for 21. Do you have a word? Like I'm toying with praying about the word expectancy. I don't know if you ever do that where I felt like God was bringing me into 2020. Purity of heart, that the pure in heart see God. And it's something I've pursued all year long. And as I've prayed and pursued God, I really have seen Him in clearer ways as I've dealt with the issues of my heart. But I feel this year expectancy might be my word. What about you? Have you given thought to what you sense God might want you to focus on in this year to come? I would love to hear from you. You can text me 877-933-2484. And since texting the show is kind of one of my love languages, any comments, questions as I'm unpacking this message, I love to hear from you. I so appreciate you. Can't even tell you what it means to do this journey with you and together as we wrestle through the issues of faith and culture and what God is saying to us in this day. You're so thoughtful. You're so deep. And it is just an honor. We sharpen each other. Appreciate you so much. This dear listener typed in, abide is my word. I love that. You abide in the vine and you bear much fruit. I mean, abide is to be pliable. It's to be held by God. And that just speaks of intimacy. So I can't wait to see what comes out of that word for you. How about you? You can text 877-933-2484. So the title of this message is Love Your Story. You know, I think one of the great things about heaven, next to, of course, worshiping God and seeing Jesus face to face, you know, that will never get over for sure. But I think one of the great, incredible aspects that have happened will be the stories. I'm sure of it. You know, Jesus was a storyteller, right? But I think, too, when we get to see all that we can't see now, all the ways our lives intersected, all the ways your little seeds of faith and sometimes your huge handfuls of faith that you plant in the ground, the times you prayed for people, I can't wait to see the ripple effect of that. And I think one of the things God wants us to do in the land of the living is to have the eyes of our heart open up so we can discern and see that He's always up to something bigger and grander and then we can even imagine. My friend Daryl Jackson, she's one of my besties, just texted in. She says, just 10 minutes ago, I felt like my word came. Listen, I'll play around and see. Listen might be her word. I love that. Jesus says that several times. So love your story. You know, Psalm 16:11 says, in His presence, the fullness of joy is found. My life verse is Psalm 116:9. And so I walk in the Lord's presence as I live here on earth. I think stories, when we are aware of God's presence in our stories, they give us the gift of perspective. And when we share them with other people, we give them the gift of perspective. And if we're not listening for God, as Daryl talked about, if we're not abiding, as that other listener wrote, we do miss out on so much of what God wants to do. But the thing is, I think you stay in a place of marvel and awe when you're always noticing, always looking, always paying attention to what God is up to. And that adds color to your story. It's like your story goes from black and white to color. And when you start to share with other people, let me tell you what God did. There's something that activates in you. I believe that so strongly. It's like adding faith to your deeds and it helps someone else. So tell your story. Erica writes in for her word. Just today, this was put on my heart. I believe my word for 2021 is Jesus. Love that. We'll pray and discern. At the name of Jesus, Erica, every knee will bow, every tongue confess. Sickness has to bow. Corruption has to bow, right? Disease has to bow. Division has to bow at the name of Jesus. Maybe God's going to use you, Erica, to become, and maybe you already are, a mighty prayer warrior where you know how to stand in authority and in faith. So back to the story. Love your story. So three ways that we can learn to love our story. One is you tell a story. Tell a portion of your story. Give somebody this year, this holiday season, a gift of perspective. And I know that we're isolated in certain ways, so how about you write a handwritten letter or send a text or an audio text? I've been loving those. Send somebody a text and say, especially if they're going through something you've already been through, let me tell you a story about God's goodness. Let me tell you what he did for me. It will be an amazing gift. So tell your story and then see your story. Discern what he's doing. Look to find him in the hard places of your story. And third, embrace his story. Know his love and see how much the Christmas story is a part of your overall story. Lord, I would just want to commit this time to you, and I pray that we would have a moment of pause to reflect on where you've been in our story, what you've done, and that we would discern what you're doing. God, you're good, and your promises are true, and you're always making a way for us. So open the eyes of our hearts, and we can see you, discern you, so we can understand the times, and we can know what to do. Lord God, as the world is in chaos, as it does seem like things are falling apart, as they all say, things are falling into place, we want to stay in the place of rest, of joy, of freedom, and wholeness. So we trust you, God. We trust you to keep us in that place of abiding in the vine where we bear much fruit. He and she who dwell in the secret place of the Most High God will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Help us, Lord God, to have such restful, free, joyful, winsome hearts that people will want to know about this God that we serve. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What's your word for 21? Have you thought of it yet? Kathy says, my word for my family in 21 is humility. Micah 6:8, love mercy, do justly, walk humbly with our God. So over about 35 years ago, well, exactly on December 20th, we had our firstborn son. We did not have any money. We had a Charlie Brown Christmas tree. We had very few presents under the tree. We hadn't hit our stretch of pretty intense crises yet. We were just young people with a little baby and didn't know what we didn't know. And I do remember when we had Jake, he was so compliant, we actually thought we were good parents. So then we had a Luke, and he's awesome now. He's a grown man. But when he was little, he gave us a run for our money. But I got to say, when we had Jake, I remember just being so, just thinking of Mary, you know, as a young girl, pregnant, you know, and giving birth to Jesus and wondering, like the unknown was so vast before her. I just, not that I'm comparing myself to Mary, but just I identified in some ways with the unknown, with the insecurity, what she must have felt. But I realized as I sat by the tree, I held the miracle of life in my arms. And I thought there's so much that I don't know, but I do know that God is faithful. I do know that he will be with me. And I do know that in the twists and turns, I'm going to find him to be someone I never thought he could be. You know, some of our most significant crises happened around the holidays. I don't know about you, but for us, bed rest. I had all my babies, two in December, one in February. So I was on bed rest through holidays, Lyme disease through the holidays. My husband was diagnosed with cancer over the holidays. My dad was diagnosed with cancer and died over the holidays. So, you know, we've had, and I don't know why those things happen so often around Christmas. I'm not sure. But so in those places, I mean, I don't want to give the impression that my holidays were depressing. Actually, they were pretty sacred because I really had to press into that first Christmas, that real story, the true story of Jesus coming. And that's where I fit in. I fit into that broken story very, very much. And that really taught me to kind of boil it down and really trust that God is who he says he is. And maybe you're in that place right now where the presents under the tree are sparse. Maybe you have a tree, but it's a Charlie Brown tree, or you don't have a tree at all. But you also don't know what the future holds, and you feel unsure, you feel unsteady, you feel insecure. Well, I think Mary felt that way too. And I want to play a song, maybe you've heard it before. It's called Breath of Heaven by Amy Grant. And I want you just to really take in these words. I'm going to read a few of these texts before we go to that song. But, you know, don't be afraid of uncertainty, because even when things feel certain, we don't have the kind of control we think we do. And when things feel uncertain, it presses us in to be dependent on God, to trust Him more. And that's our safe place, is not to trust that all of our ducks line up in a row, that we get everything that we want, that we're not holding our breath. It's when we press in to go, there's so much around on this earth and this temporary place that I'm living that's uncertain, but I know you're certain, God, so I'm going to trust you. This could turn out to be one of the most sacred Christmases, because people will disappoint, seasons will disappoint, life on earth will disappoint. Jesus never will. So I'm going to read a couple of these texts and then we'll play the song. Carissa says, I haven't started praying about next year's word yet, as I'm honestly still waiting for him to fulfill the word he spoke over in 2020, but I'm believing I'll see it soon. And I believe that with you, Carissa. Quetzi, love this. My word is believe. Scripture says, if you believed, Jesus said, did I not tell you, if you believed, you would see the glory of God? Quetzi, I pray you see the glory of God. Linda says, Merry Christmas to you and yours. Thank you so much. This one says, my word is deeper. I feel like Jesus is calling me to dig deeper into his word, deeper into a relationship with him and others, and deeper into faith and joy and abundant living. And I love this one. Mel says, my word is heal. Thank you, Lord. Love to see God fulfill Romans 8:28 through mine and other stories. I'm counting on it too, Mel. He works all things together for the good. Well, I see we're up against a break, so if you don't mind, I'm going to hit this break. When we come back, I'll reset that song. And I pray you can just maybe push all the distractions out of the way and settle in this hour and just have a moment with me by the tree. And let's tell some stories. Let's see his story, and let's trust that he's writing a grand and beautiful story. We'll be back in a minute. Messiah has come, and he's coming again, and I believe he's coming soon, so all is well. I know it doesn't look well on the earth, but God is sovereign, and he's in control, and he's coming for his bride. He's coming for us. Thanks for tuning into Suzy Larson Live. I'm doing something a little different today. I'm sharing my Christmas message that I often give if I'm speaking at a Christmas event, but I'm adapting it for radio and interweaving kind of some of your comments, because I want to know, has God given you a word for 21 yet? One has said heal. Another one has said humility. One has said listen. This one says be still and wait upon the Lord. The word abide was given to me yesterday and confirmed this morning when I read, out of my Prevail devotional. I love that. He goes before me. He will fight for me. He will care for me. He will lead me. Amen. Thank you for that. Wow, that's amazing. That's what happens when you read something on live radio. You don't know where it's going to go. Thank you for that. And this one says, the word he's given me is rest. He wants me to rest in him and what he did and does not what I do. He wants me to rest. Tammy, I love Tammy. She says, a few weeks back, I was praying for my family and I felt the word harvest land on my heart. I'm excited to see God's plan come alive this coming year. Oh, Tammy, more people are saying that. And really, really, I believe it with everything in me. Things may heat up and opposition may flare up against Christians, but there is a massive harvest coming. I know it in my knower. So Tammy, you're going to be part of that because you're such a kingdom woman and you got so much faith. I just love that. What's so beautiful. So the message, Love Your Story is the title of the message. And there's three aspects to loving your story, just as we think about this Christmas time. One is to tell a story. Another one is to see your story. And another one is to embrace his story. And when I say to tell a story, bring the gift of perspective to someone. Even if you're in the midst of hardship right now, you know some things. You've acquired some wisdom. Somebody needs to hear what you have to say. So pray about it and send an audio text, write a letter, you know, get on Zoom, do whatever you can do. Be creative and connect to someone and impart something to them. Give them the gift of your story. And I know, as I mentioned, so many of our hard things happen in the over the holiday season. That was always tricky for me because I love the Christmas holiday, but it was beautiful for me because it reminded me of what the first holiday, the first time Jesus came, what the actual Christmas story is really about. And I could have been tempted by all the commercialization because I just love the festivity of Christmas, but it boiled me down to remember this is who Jesus is and this is why he came. I want you to hear this song from Amy Grant. breath of heaven, especially if you're in a valley right now. Just slow down, take a deep breath, and just listen to this song, and I'll be back in a moment. Beautiful song by Amy Grant, and I wanted to play that because it just shows such a picture that I'm sure Mary was dependent on the Lord for her every breath. And you look at every single story in Scripture, it's laced with uncertainty. There was not a time where God laid out the path and said, here you go, autopilot you go. It's going to be predictable. It never was. And we don't like uncertainty, but I'm telling you, it's leading us into a place of deeper dependence on God. So in this place, you know, remember this, that heaven will one day pull it all together. It'll make everything complete. Every puzzle piece will fall into place. Every story will make sense. But even so, right now, God does give us glimpses of glory. So if you look for him, you'll find him, and you will, when you see him, tell someone. I want you to tell someone your story. I've been asking for some texts to come in, just if you've prayed about your word for 21 yet. And Leanne says, my word is trust. Many unsettling things in my life, choosing to trust God. Leanne, you are a heroic woman of God, and you are fighting and battling for your daughter, and I'm sure other battles as well, and you are fierce in battle. And I just want you to know, God is so proud of you, and he sees you contend for wholeness, healing, and health, and to trust him in the midst of things that don't make sense. I just want to affirm you, hon. Thanks for hanging in there and being a good example of what it means to contend for the faith. And Patrice says, my word is forgiveness. I think that's a beautiful word. And this dear listener says, courage, wisdom, yielding, victorious, and abundant. Those are lots of words. But hey, there's no law that says you have to choose one. I think it's amazing. So I'm just kind of adapting my Christmas speaking message for radio. And you've heard me make this quote before. It is truly one of my favorites from Elizabeth Barrett Browning. Earth is crammed with heaven, every common bush afire with God. But only he who sees takes off his shoes. The rest just sit around and pluck blackberries. I want this for you to be one of those pause and take off your shoes kind of season. I want you to push back the enemy's taunts, push back your tendency to, I'm going to just step on some toes, whine and complain and pout if the kids can't come home this holiday season. Humble yourself and look for what God is doing, and tell someone your story, because you've got something someone needs to know. And on the other side of the break, I've got kind of a funny story to tell. The second point in the message is to see your story. So tell your story, and then I want you to see your story. And this is kind of a hilarious story, and I'll tell you on the other side, so we'll laugh, all right? But I want to keep the text coming. If you've prayed and ask God, or you just have a sense of what your word is, share it. I just think it's great. And Patrice says, hey, your show is what I needed today. Thank you so much, Patrice. So grateful to do this journey with you. I'm Susie Larson. This is Susie Larson Live, doing something a little different today, but I really do hope it feels like a moment by the tree. Yeah, you've got some tea, I've got some tea or cider or something else, and not something else. I didn't mean to imply anything there. Anyway, I got a hot drink, you got a hot drink, and we're enjoying each other by the tree and just reflecting on the goodness of God, the fact that he's very involved in our story. So tell your story. Next point is to see your story right in the middle of the mess. See what God is up to. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Thanks for tuning into Susie Larson Live, doing something a little different, just having a by the tree moment with you, if you don't mind. And I'm kind of walking through a Christmas message that I often give at events, but I'm just adapting it for radio. But the title is to love your story. And there's three points I really want to make: to tell a story, to see your story, and to embrace his story. And we've spent quite a bit of time on telling your story, just giving someone the gift of perspective. Even if you're in a time of need right now, you know stuff, you've survived stuff, and you've got some wisdom that you've acquired. And I think when you start to tell of God's faithfulness, it activates your own faith. So give someone the gift of story this year. Won't cost you anything. Well, it may cost you a little bit, because you may choke up. It'll cost you some time, but it'll be giving a gift that will mean the world to somebody who needs to hear what you have to say. Now, see your story. Oh, and by the way, I'd love for you to text in and tell me if you've gotten a sense of the word that maybe God has for you for 2021. A lot of people do that. You know, they'll pick a word victory or they'll pick a word bold or whatever. And I'm toying with and thinking of the word expectancy for me, but a number of them have come in, yielding and humility and trust and harvest and rest and listen. Those are fantastic. Janie says, persevere is my, she already knows it, persevere is my word for 2021. You know what, when we talk about persevering in Scripture, it's all about maturing so that you're complete, lacking in nothing. So what is God preparing you for, Janie? Wow, that's excellent. Interesting that severe is in persevere. Time to grow up, just like you said. Times were rarely easy. I have it on our desk. Thank you, Lord. Oh, that's great, Janie. How about you? Text in 877-933-2484. So I said toward the beginning of the show that a number of our crises hit over the holiday season, and that was hard for me on one hand, but I see it as a sacred gift because I love Christmas so much. I could have easily gotten caught up in some of the commercialization just because it's so fun. I love the music, the decorations. I love giving gifts to people. And so I had, as a young mom, because I've been very honest and raw, that my early years, I was not your put-together friend. I had friends whose houses looked like they came off of a magazine page, and their kids just always looked like they were dressed for church, you know, and they stood in one place. I had three boys. They just never stood in one place, and my laundry pile was always taller than me. I could not, especially I was dealing with a disease, and so my life just was a little more messy than most of my friends, and so I had this Christmas fantasy. Are you ready? I just had, you know, some of you might be too young to remember Leave It to Beaver, but some of you remember June Cleaver, Leave It to Beaver's mom. She'd do her housework in her little dress. Not that I would do that, but she had high heels on, perfect hair. And, you know, whenever they go to her, she's pulling cookies out of the oven and just looking as put together as possible. So I had this, you know, fantasy that I would one day, you know, the house would just stay clean. The boys would just, you know, not wrestle or tip things over and make a mess. You know, I would look halfway decent and feel good, and I would bake cookies that wouldn't burn. And while I'm doing this whole Christmas thing, and my house would be decorated with decorations that, you know, that we could afford, you know, I had this fantasy that someone would just unknowingly stop by, surprise me, so I could go, hey, this is my life. This is how I live, which is a joke, right? But I can't even tell you, I'd see these Christmas commercials going, one day, that will be mine. And so you get it. We were in a wilderness time. And each year I think, is this going to be the year where I get my Christmas that I kind of dreamed of? It's shallow, I know, but I dreamt of it. And there was one springtime where it seemed like things were turning the corner for us. And we had this little Charlie Brown Christmas tree. But that particular spring, my in-laws gave us this gorgeous, of course, it's a fake tree, but it was beautiful, full, something we could never have afforded. Okay, so that was the spring. So jump ahead to that winter. I was starting to feel better, and it felt like things were turning the corner. And I thought, this is my year. And we had the chipmunks on the music, the Christmas chipmunks. The kids love that. I'm baking cookies in the kitchen. Can you picture it? Kev's out in the living room, little boys on the floor, and they're pulling out the tinsel and the bulbs, and music is playing, and they're all getting ready to put the tree together. And my dear hubby has these two things. So one thing he does is when he's not sure of himself, he doesn't do it anymore because the boys used to tease him so mercilessly, but he'd rub his nose. Like if we're driving and the boys would say, Dad, do you know where we're going? Yeah, it's right up here. And he'd kind of rub his nose. The boys would actually say, Dad, you don't know where we're going because I saw you rub your nose. Okay, that was one of his little quirks. Another one is when he's kind of in trouble, he would start to break out and call me all these names. So here I am baking the cookies. I look into the living room and my hubby has this look on his face like something was going wrong. And I'm like, oh no, oh no. What's the matter? What's the matter? And then he rubs his nose. I'm like, ah! And then he goes, it's okay, pumpkin duck. It's okay. And he just starts listing all these gooey, sappy names. I'm like, you're calling me names. What happened? And it seems that back previous spring, I don't know how this happened, but when he was cleaning out our little tuck under closet, he accidentally, this is not like him because he is cross your T's and dot your I's kind of guy, somehow threw away half of our good tree and half of our bad tree. And those two trees didn't go together. One was this puny little poor excuse of a whatever. And then this gorgeous tree, we just have half of it. And so I'm like, oh, and he goes, it's okay, honey. It's okay, hun bun. It's okay, pumpkin duck dinner head or something like that. Son, go get my screw gun. Luke, go get my hammer. And I'm like, tools? Really? Because he is like Tim the Tool Man. I mean, he loves tools. And so, but I'm thinking at Christmas time, I mean, who's pulling out the extension cords and the screw guns to put up the Christmas tree, right? And this, it's getting later in the day, and I hear him, and he's drilling, and the kids had stopped, you know, singing Christmas songs, and they're throwing the sawdust up in the air. And our living room looked like a construction catastrophe. And so by this time, it was time for the kids to go to bed. And so I tucked the guys in bed and cleaned up. I did burn the cookies, by the way, so I had something to do with this day. But anyway, I kissed him on the top of the head. And I said, honey, we don't need a tree this year. Really, it's okay. He just tried so hard, you know. And I went to bed. I don't know if I woke up an hour or two later, and he wasn't in bed. And so I walk out into the living room, and I see my husband sitting on the floor, holding the control to the lights of our Christmas tree like they were the control to a race car, sitting in front of a medium-sized, perfect, beautiful decorated tree. And my jaw dropped. And as I'm walking up behind him, he's like, I was going to make it rotate, but I thought I should quit while I'm ahead. And I crawled into his lap, and I looked at this medium tree. And, you know, I'm a crier. I wept. I couldn't believe it. And it's like I had this, like, revelatory moment that living room was our life. It just was. There's no way to clean up what we were walking through and make it look good. We couldn't tie it in a nice bow. We just couldn't. And yet, God had a vision for our lives, just like Kevin had a vision for that tree, and he didn't give up. And the thing is, we weren't ready for a big tree. We didn't even have the money to put enough decorations on. We were ready for a medium tree. We were ready for that one. And to sit there and see the tender care that my husband put into this tree, I felt God's presence really so strongly, and I knew we were going to be okay. I knew we were going to be okay. So I want you to just think about if we're listeners. I talked earlier, I don't know, a few shows ago, about becoming a first-class noticer, somebody who's constantly bending an ear towards heaven, open eyes to see what God is up to. Then you start to discern that the hard times in your life, well, they're just a chapter in a great and compelling story. So don't throw the book away, because the story is about to get really good. Don't throw the book away because you don't like the chapter you're in. The story is about to get really, really good. So, see your story. I know that many of you are walking through incredible, painful, hard times. I know it. And I pray that you will have a revelatory moment because God is involved in your story. Jesus is praying for you and interceding for you right now. The Spirit of God is alive in you. Life on earth is short. Eternity is long. But he wants us to fix our eyes on what we cannot see, because what we see is temporary. What we cannot see, well, it's eternal. And your faith in the trying times echoes into eternity. It makes a difference. And I got to say, it makes a difference here too, because your faith changes you. Man, the times that I've submitted my will to God, when I wasn't getting what I want, I look back and it's changed me. There's something so powerful about surrender and trust and then gritty faith and refusing the bait of the enemy of self-pity, of discouragement, of smallness. You are part of a big story and never doubt it. So the next song I want to play is The Hope of Christmas by Matthew West. And I'd sure love to hear from you. Any comments, questions, but if you've got a word for 21 or if you're just playing with it, I want to help you play with it. Text me, 877-933-2484. Let's listen.
Take me back to 8 years old, the little church on a dead-end road, with a candle flicker in one hand and Dad's hand in the other. Take me back to silent night, my heart was full and the world was right, 'cause right now the world looks nothing like those innocent Decembers. These days peace on earth is hard to find, and I need you to remind me one more time. You're still the hope of Christmas. You're still the light when the world looks dark.
You're still the hope of Christmas, and you're still the hope of my heart. Watch the snowflakes falling down like a blanket on this town. For a moment we can hardly see the pain this year has brought us. May the sick find healing's touch. May hatred's fight be won with love. And may every heart make room for you, the one who came to save us. 'Cause you're still the hope of Christmas. You're still the light when the world looks dark. You're still the hope of Christmas, and you're still the hope of my heart. You're the hope of Christmas. I bowed my head to pray tonight, felt my little girl by my side. She slipped her tiny hand in mine, and we both talked to you. And it took me back to 8 years old, my daddy's hand and a story told about heaven's love in the manger low, and a promise that's still true. You're still the hope of Christmas. You're still the light when the world looks dark. You're still the hope of Christmas. And you're still the hope of my heart. You're still the hope of my heart.
So we go out to break. I got to read this precious story. Someone texted in 11 years ago at Christmas. I was saying goodbye to my father. He was in hospice and dying. He died January 7, 2010. My mother had died 18 months before, and I was single at the time. It felt dark, but God was with me, and I felt his strength. 3 weeks after my father's passing, during a blizzard, I met my husband. It is still incredible to me that we started dating and our marriage license was signed a year after my dad died. I couldn't have found them that he would give me such an amazing gift after such a difficult season. It's always good to think of how God can change things and has something often right around the corner when it's the right time. I want you to hear that again. It's always good to think about how God can change things in a moment and often has something right around the corner when the time is right. We'll be back in a minute. Thanks so much for tuning in to Susie Larson Live, doing something a little bit different this hour, just having some by-the-tree moments with you, walking through one of my Christmas messages, and also wanting to hear from you. Just received so many wonderful texts. If you've got a sense of a word that God has for you in this next year, just would love to hear it. Some of the words: persevere, humility, abide, listen, trust. Terry says, Susie, I've sat and meditated on what the Lord's word would be for me in 21. It's strength. What that means and what's in store, I'll just trust and love him. Merry Christmas, and to you, Terry. So I've been walking through this kind of process of loving your story. And first part is just to tell a story. Tell a portion of your story. It'll help you love your story. I honestly think it activates faith in us when we start to testify to what God has done. I mean, that's part of overcoming the enemy in Revelation 12:11 by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony. We love not our lives, even unto death. So tell a story. And the second is to see your story, to look for what God is doing. Look for him in your story. And the third part is to embrace his story because it's the greatest story ever told. And your response to this great story really does determine how your story ends. So let's just set it up. About 2,000 years ago, shepherds stood on a hillside, as they'd done countless times before. They were most likely guarding sheep that would later be used as a sacrifice at the temple. And you can almost picture what a night's work might look like. The stars, the moon, the smell, the conversation. But this night would be different. A sacred story indeed. Luke 2, it says this. That night, some shepherds were in the field outside the village guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terribly frightened, and the angel reassured them, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy for everyone." Listen to this. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born tonight in Bethlehem, the city of David. And this is how you'll recognize him. You'll find a baby lying in a manger, wrapped snugly in strips of cloth. Suddenly the angel was joined, picture it, by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to all whom God favors. When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Come, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this wonderful thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." And they ran to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. And Jennifer Kennedy Dean, in her Bible study, Secrets Jesus Shares, shares how in those days, the ways a shepherd kept the sheep in the pen was to place a heavy boulder at the gate. So as soon as a shepherd moved the heavy boulder, the sheep would stampede through the gate, anxious to be free from their captivity. So why did the shepherds run? Why did they stampede when they heard the great news about Jesus? Because they'd read about and heard about the Messiah, the one who would bring abundance and freedom and forgiveness and wholeness. They longed for freedom to be an option. They were penned in by impossible religious demands, and they couldn't live up to them. So they looked forward to being free. They understood what it meant to have that boulder, that burden, rolled away. And Jennifer writes this, "Every step that Jesus took on planet Earth, the spiritual realm was shouting, 'This is what God is like.' As he healed and he taught and he touched and he laughed, this is what God is like. As he hung broken on the cross, this is what God is like. And when he rose from the grave and triumphed over death, this is what God is like." I want you to think about it. The Bible says that Jesus did not consider equality with God a thing to be grasped. He laid his life down. You thought, you know, if you try to get an audience with some important celebrity, you probably couldn't. You'd have to get in line and take a number. But you just need to know Jesus to have access to the inner throne room of the Most High God. And if you've never made that decision for Jesus, what a perfect time, Christmas time. It's ABC. You acknowledge your need, your sinfulness. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. You believe that Jesus came, that he lived, he died for you on the cross for your sins, and he rose again. You believe it, and you confess with your mouth. Really, you believe with all your heart, and you confess with your mouth, "Jesus is Lord. He lived, he died, he rose again," and you will be saved. You ask Jesus, "Come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Fill me with your spirit. I want my eternity secure, and I want to live as one who's spoken for." You pray that prayer and you mean it. Your eternity is secure. And I pray you don't wait another day. If you've never done that, don't rely on your denomination. Don't rely on your family line. Those are fine things, but they don't get you into heaven. We stand before Jesus and we give an account alone. We can't point to our denomination or our grandma's faith. We've got to own our faith. And if you've never done that, do it today. Do it today. And let me know that you prayed that prayer. I want you to hear a song from Elevation. Here Comes Heaven. Let's listen, and I'm coming back to pray for you.
Your promise.
Here comes heaven. You know, the Christmas story is not old news. It is now news. It is the best news ever. I want you to tell your story. Someone needs to hear what God has taught you. I want you to see your story. See God in your story. He is up to something good, and you will see it. I pray you see it in the land of the living. And I want you to embrace his story, because it's the greatest story ever told, and it has everything to do with your story. And if you prayed to receive Christ today, do text me and let me know or email me. But I want to wrap with a blessing I wrote this morning. It's not really a blessing, but it's more of a declaration. 2,000 years ago, creation awakened at the arrival of King Jesus. The sky ablaze, the angels sang, and the shepherds ran. Salvation, redemption, and freedom became possible. Here we are, this Christmas, when all of creation groans for that day, when God peels back the sky, the angels sing, and we see with our own eyes the return of our King. Darkness dispelled, strongholds are broken, corruption forever crumbled, and evil schemes dismantled and exposed. Jesus, with fire in his eyes, will raise us up with him, and with the whole world will finally know that we belong to him. Dear Jesus, we bow before you. Our precious and honorable King, we wait expectantly for you. Grant us courage. Find us faithful. Protect us from the evil one. Be glorified in us. Let us see your glory once again. We love you, Laura.
Thanks for listening to this conversation from Suzy Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.